blessed to hear this sermon close on 20 years ago, and it stuck with me, at least the title did. I've had to sort of recreate most of it from there, but the gist of where the original author was going is being fairly representative of what I'm saying. But let me start by going out with Mother's Day. Mother's Day initially, according to Wikipedia, was started in 1908 in America when Anne Jarvis led a memorial service for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church. And after she had died, she campaigned to try and get Mother's Day made a national holiday, which she obviously succeeded in. And it took off from there. But in the UK, it's actually got a bit more depth to it than just celebrating mums. And what they do in the UK is they celebrate it with what's called Mothering Sunday. And for those who don't know, in the UK they had this really weird concept many, many years ago. And Mothering Sunday meant return back to Mother Church. Come back to your roots with Christ. And it was an encouragement to find people who drifted away from their faith and use it as a way of coming back and saying, come back to Christ. And what they've done is they sort of combine both things. So you get Mothering Sunday and Mother's Day, sort of take a joining sort of role in the UK, which you might not find in other sort of places. But I don't think that's too bad an idea, really, was it? Remind people that God represents both sexes, male and female. And Jesus talks at one point when he looks upon Jerusalem, he looks and he says, you know, if I could just gather you in like a hen desires to gather you under her wings. There's another reference where it talks about God with breasts, and it's talking about the nature and the nurture that mothers have. And God represents himself that way because he has both sexes within him. And we should understand that we're trying to get people to understand the depth that God has for us, the love he has for us. So what I want us to do is take some time to look at the scriptures and examine the way that we reflect upon women and our attitudes towards service. So I went and looked at a couple of statistics, and basically according to various websites and the well-renowned British Broadcasting Corporation, women still do more housework and childcare than men, especially women between the ages of 26 and 35. The Office of National Statistics said that when it came to unpaid chores at home, women were doing almost 40% more than men on average. Now, for those of you who are married, you can go and have a discussion about that, whether you think that's fair. You know, counselling will be available next year, next week, if it didn't go well. But I think it's fair to say, and I think we'd be hard pushed to argue any different, that when we have social gatherings, you'll tend to find that women are doing most of the background work, in preparing food, and getting things ready, and taking care of those sorts of situations. So what I wanted to do is look at this particular passage in the Bible and see how Jesus interacts with women who are in this social situation. So I'll just read once again. As Jesus and his disciples continued on the way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come up and help me. The Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. We don't know much about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their brother. There's a couple of ideas. That first of all, is Martha is the elder sister, and Mary and Lazarus, obviously, her brother and sister to her. The main perception is that these three are unmarried, which seems unusual for the time. We know during later accounts that Mary uses nard, which is quite an expensive perfume, so they're obviously wealthy. They obviously can host a large group of men, so they've obviously got a large house, and they've obviously got wealth to take care of that. So from one perspective, we have Martha, Mary, and Lazarus all living together. Now that's one side. Another theory, and it's because you find, I think it's in panic. Very honest. Do the dusting. I was waiting for that one. Yeah. Check the bathrooms. Yep, check the bathrooms. All sorts of preparations. You start putting, don't you? You tidy up, you clean up, you get things ready. It's said that the Queen, our beloved Queen, thinks the world smells of paint. And it's the idea that wherever the Queen goes, obviously they're just painting the place just before she arrives. And everything she walks smells of paint. Now, obviously, it's an illustration, but it gets the point across. But Jesus' ministry is not recorded like this. He doesn't go to just the nice places or the good places. He mucks in and gets in with whatever he's meant to be doing. Okay? We also need to understand that the act of hospitality, as I've said before, not only is about having food and a nice time, but it's also saying it's an offering of protection upon the person who enters into the house. It's also offering honor to the person coming into the house, so you honor the person. And it's also bestowing honor upon the person who is giving the hospitality. So there's a bit of a transaction going on here. It's a gift giving on many, many levels. So I'm just wondering, even though we've read this, and hopefully we've thought about it before, how many of us still have got caught in a trap sometimes of when we're hosting? We got completely flustered. We got completely caught off guard. I mean, they say that when you're preparing food, when you've got people entertaining, what you should be doing is, you know, in today's society, if you're doing a three-course meal, you should have the first course prepared. The middle course should be heated up, be done quickly, and the third course is all ready. So basically, you've got most time to spend with your guests. But I wonder how many of us have gone through this process, and at the end of when everyone's waved goodbye, and you think to yourself, I've barely got time to talk to anyone. I was too busy doing stuff in the kitchen. So even though we've read this in the Bible, even though we could have the wisdom to go, we've probably all fallen into the trap of getting caught off guard. You see, the problem with Martha is not that she's busy in the kitchen. The problem with Martha is that she's not happy being there. She hasn't found herself correctly. She's found herself doing some sort of service, and the way she's going about this service is causing her more grief than it is a blessing. And it's a lesson for all of us to be learning. Because maybe you're sort of a character who likes to turn up early, get things ready, make sure it's all right. By the end of it, you're the last to leave, you've washed up, you've tidied up, you've cleaned up, and that's all quite wonderful, and thank you for that. But if you do that, but you find in your heart you're going, oh, I just wish so-and-so from Walter would turn up and help me, or why is so-and-so doing that, and I'm stuck doing this, then I would suggest that the actual service you're doing fails to actually Jesus today. Mary's always at the feet of Jesus. Mary's at the feet of Jesus here when she goes up and talks to him about her brother. When Lazarus has died, she falls at the feet of Jesus. And the third time we have the interaction, she's weeping and she's washing, pouring meat and nard upon him, crying with her hair. She's at the feet of Jesus again. It's the way that she is characterized. But here she is, learning at the feet of Jesus. This just isn't done. Women don't sit at rabbis' feet. So not only is she breaking every single social taboo, it could be quite well understood that Martha had good case to go and say, hang on a second, she should be doing this role over here. That's what we do. And we'll leave that role over there. Jesus, what are you playing at? But Jesus doesn't let that get in the way. He doesn't let the social taboos get there. He says, no, this woman is worthy to be taught. Can we hear that? The living God said, women are worthy to be taught. Contrary to what the culture had got itself to at the time. And not only that, but he says to her, she's chosen the best option and will not be taken from her. Martha at the moment is out of balance. And Jesus is pointing out there is the good, there's the better, and there's the best. And for Martha, she hasn't quite figured it yet. She hasn't found herself in the kitchen. She's just been there. She hasn't got any balance in her life. But Mary has found herself. She knows the right thing. Jesus says, that's not going to be taken away from her. Martha finds herself rebuked. Mary is commended. So what is she commended for? Well, you see, Christ came to find the lost. And by anyone's definition at the moment, Martha is lost. She's got a task that she's just not happy to do. Mary, on the other hand, has found where she should be. It comes down to a matter of heart and peace. It's coming down to an understanding of what finding yourself looks like. See, I don't believe Jesus saying, sitting at my feet is superior to working in the kitchen. I genuinely don't think he's saying that. I think what he's saying is, Mary's found peace in what she's been called to do. And you, Martha, you haven't found your peace in the calling that you've been expressing. Have you found yourself? See, I don't think this is an issue of gender at all. I think it's an issue of peace within the calling that God's put upon you, whatever it may be. Warren Wiersbe says this: few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking the time to commune with Christ. We need to examine our lives. We need to look at our lives and say, are we out of kilter at the moment? Are we doing this particular ministry, or we're acting in this particular way, but it's bringing us no peace, no pleasure, there's no sense of joy, and in fact it's just a burden because I haven't found myself perfectly in the will of God. Can we re-examine that position? The church fathers came up, it's spelled differently, but it's called examine itself. What the church fathers is, they used to go through this process where they, by studying scriptures, would reflect upon the scriptures and say, how is that speaking to us? And this is what Jesus is saying about Mary. He's saying, well, she's decided to listen to the word of God and allow it to affect her. What she done? She said, I'm going to go across all social taboos. I'm going to risk being called all sorts of names, because I'm determined this is what God would have me do, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to get in the way to stop me doing that, because that's where I should be. Because Mary has already found herself, and Martha has not. But Jesus came 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was being prepared in Jesus' honor, and Martha served, and Lazarus was amongst those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made with the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled. Go back and read that sometime, because what we have now is the same group of people in the same house eating a meal. Now, to put itself in context, this comes after the position where we've seen Lazarus has died, and now we have an interaction between both Mary and Martha, and then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And a meal is now done in celebration and honor of Jesus, with also Lazarus being part of this celebration. Disciples around. Martha is preparing a meal, I guess, for a similar amount of people. There's no word of complaint. There's no problem that she's in the kitchen. Because now, the lost Martha has been found, because she now understands who is before her. She understands how Christ has spoken into her life. She understands what the resurrection to come means, because the very fact of that resurrection is demonstrated in Lazarus to before her. That who is dead is now alive, and she has now come to terms with who she stands within the kingdom. She has found who she is within Christ. And therefore serving in whatever capacity becomes peace to her. This is a woman who has found herself. Once again, enormous sort of stepping over social taboos. This woman just does it for a hobby. Here she is, and she's now at the feet of Jesus, and she anoints his feet. Wiping his feet with her hair. You cannot get a more intimate act. At his own celebratory meal before his death, he washed the feet of his disciples. Here we have a woman who's grasped what it means to be a servant of Christ. And Mary demonstrates this, and she throws herself down and she anoints him, and takes this expensive perfume. She spends a lot of money saying, "You are worth it, and I will humble myself using my own hair." Martha's not going, "What's she doing?" Martha is now at total peace with this, because she's found herself. And her role of service is in the kitchen. Interestingly enough, if you want to put some sort of actual theological basis on it, Martha is a deacon. That's how it's used to describe. She's serving. Yes. There she is, serving her own. Mary is a priest, because she's anointing God's chosen. Wow. They're thrusting, doesn't it? Jesus has a deacon, a priest, two women allowed to be serving him. We step into the sacred, this sacred act going on of Mary anointing God's chosen one, of acknowledging who he is within her life, of pouring a massive outcome of money upon him, and Martha preparing the scene and the host of the area to allow this blessing to happen. This is sacred space at its utmost. But also with this sacred space, we now find that within the hearts of Martha, and always we found within Mary, there comes a harmony. They are working together. They are at peace with one another about what roles they have. And talking with Warren Wiersbe again, we quote, "It seems evident that the Lord wants us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work. Blessed and the balanced." And so can I challenge us and make us think about the work we may be doing for Christ? And are we doing it out of our own? Someone said, what's God's alternative? If we aren't to grow by self-effort, how do we grow? Jesus' answer comes as we see him help the disciples develop an attitude, not of activism, but of dependence. Now, I'm not saying by any means that we should sit down and navel-gaze ourselves to death. I'm not saying that we should sit there and starve because no one can be bothered to cook a meal. The exact opposite. What I'm saying is, look for how God will ask you to serve and find your place in that service. And that's what Jesus commends about Mary when he says to her, Martha, Martha, Mary's found a better way than God will take her away from her. Because when Jesus comes to find the lost and restore us, which is what he's done for all of us, he desires us for have the best life. I've come so that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus isn't sitting there going, how many problems can I bestow upon you all now? Take this, take that. It's the exact opposite. Not only do I want to take the burden of your sin upon you, upon me, I want to take off the burdens of unnecessary problems of life. So come to me. Find peace. Step away from this position where it's all about busyness. But instead, in your activity, start by stepping into the sacred. Move from the sacred to harmony. And when you move from the sacred to harmony, you will find satisfaction and peace. And so what we've seen is we follow the story through, we find the accounts. We see Martha, a woman who was not happy, but encountered truly what would happen with the death and resurrection played out in her own brother Lazarus. To the point where we finally see her doing exactly the same actions, but now at peace. Because she's now realized where the sacred has stepped into her life. She's now realized what Jesus is trying to do. And she's allowed the burdens that she was carrying to be passed back to Jesus. And you and I need to do the same. You and I need to reflect upon our life and write down and think about it to examine ourselves. Say, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it because of history? I always do this. Is it because that's what I like doing?